Well, welcome again to another episode of The Talking Show here on K-Chung Radio.
Hello, Steve, and welcome to all our listeners out there in Chinatown, Los Angeles, and everyone around the world on the internet.
Much aloha.
Yes, very much hello. It's great to be here. The weather feels great.
Well, we have a very challenging show for you today, quite unusual, really, and I hope that you, our regular listeners, will bear with us with this one.
Yes, your inestimable patience is required here, folks, so be careful.
So, this show is a bold departure for us, firstly in that there are actually two people speaking on the show today. That's huge for us. It's effectively doubling the number of people who normally speak on this show.
Yeah, and I might add that the second bold departure today, number two, is that today's show has more curse words than any previous show.
Yeah, this is true. Pretty filthy. Yeah. Well, you were warned, gentle listener. Anyway, swears aside, this episode is shaping up to be one of my favorites. How do you feel, Nicholas?
I'm feeling really, really good about it, and the feeling is grounding. I'm anticipating lots of vocal fun.
Anyway, so without any further delay, our two guests today are Derek and Clive, all the way from the UK, and here today in sunny Los Angeles.
Oh, testing. Oh, no, don't test any longer. No. I'll tell you the worst job I ever had.
What was that?
The worst job I ever had was with Jane Mansfield. You know, she's a fantastic bird, you know, tits, huge bum and everything like that. But I had the terrible job of retrieving lobsters from her bum.
Really? Bloody hell, that must have been a task.
Boy, it's quite a task, because she had a big bum and they were lobsters.
I remember she had a huge bum.
Well, she had one and, you know, presumably in the afterlife, she still has one. But I used to go round, you know, of an evening when Jane was sleeping, or sort of comatose, just lying there.
Comatose to her head.
Shut up. And I had to retrieve these lobsters from her arsehole.
Yeah, well, I remember she had a lot of trouble with lobsters up her arsehole.
Well, you see, the lobsters...
Basically, she suffered from what was known in the medical trade as lobsters up the arsehole.
Well, this is what it said scientifically, you know, lobsters up the bum, you know. This is a scientific term for it. But, you know, in general terms, it was known as lobsterissimus bumbakissimus.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was my job every evening to go around to Jane, who's a sweet girl.
Yeah.
Sweet, charming, shy, mysterious girl.
Yeah.
And get these fucking lobsters out of her arsehole.
Yeah.
Which is so tricky because she was a very sensitive woman, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
I used to go around there every evening, and these lobsters, you know, she used to go out bathing in Malibu.
Yeah.
Which is where she used to go out bathing, you
know. Yeah, old Malibu, yeah.
Malibu, yes. Malibu de bum bum. And up went the lobsters, boing, straight up her arsehole.
Well, I think she brought it on herself, really, didn't she?
Not so much brought them on herself, so much encouraged them, you know,
by
the flagrant display which she got up to.
Well, I think she was a dirty cow.
Well,
be fair.
You can call her a dirty cow, but let's face it, a lot of lobsters fancied her bum.
Yeah, well, I think, let's face it, I think it was a 50-50 arrangement.
The lobsters didn't say... We have the upper hand.
No.
Jane didn't say we have the upper hand.
There was no feeling of domination.
No, it was a 50-50 thing.
I think the lobsters got quite a nip out of it.
Yeah.
And I think Jane got a lot out of it.
Yeah, but it was my job to retrieve the lobsters from her bum after the event.
What event?
Post hoc prompt.
Post what?
Post hoc prompt.
Oh, yeah.
That's
yeah.
what it is in Latin, you know. Well, getting lobsters out of people's bums.
Oh, post op the prompt, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, when.
But she was a sweet girl and I wouldn't knock her.
Well, I gather you wouldn't, no.
No, I gather I wouldn't. But I'll tell you one thing Tony Newley said to me.
What was that?
Who are you?
Yeah, just like that.
Just like that. And I thought that made Tony Newley a wonderful human being.
I was down in the... Dolly came down the stairs. Yeah. Opened the door. She said, what are you doing there? I said, And the doctor told me to stick my knob in the toilet roll. If I got a migraine.
Yeah.
And, you know, she said, oh, dance is what I'll make you a bit of tea.
Oh, so
no.
Actually, I haven't
no. quite. So anyway, she began. She began off. And he went, oh, I've got a train. Came back in. She said, what's that on that internet? I said, that I've just spilt my medicine.
Private part. potentially for the next hour. Otherwise, they'll shoot. Understood the situation.
Funny you should say that, because I went home to tea last Tuesday, I saw some mum, you know, she was a cup of tea. And I thought, well, I've always wanted to get it done, you know.
Yeah.
Because I like her, you know.
What point did you thought it would take about
5 minutes to brew? I thought, you know.
Have a 4.5 minute wait. Well,
it was a free fucking country. Right, so I've got the old knobber out, you know.
You got your old one out, did you?
Yeah.
I thought you were running in the new one.
No, yeah, I'll save it. And I really sort of sick in a way. And I had a photograph of my dad there, you know, and that really gets me going. So anyway, I was just coming over his face, you know. Fucking door open, my mum comes in with the tea. She said, what are you doing? I said, alright. I said, alright, now you have to know the truth. I've got cancer of the nose.
Yeah.
And I have to get this pus out every day. Every day I have to get this pus out. And she said, what's that? What's it doing over Dad's picture?
Yeah.
I said,
poser for
me. I said, well, I've faced you when I'm making. I mean, when I'm getting the bus out, I made a slip, you know. I mean, she didn't notice it because she farted at that moment and covered the word naked. She said, what did you say? I said, when I'm thinking. So, and I said, I have to face due north because it's something to do with the poles. So, you know, nothing was said, and she said, oh, I didn't know you had cancer.
Yeah.
I said, yeah, I've had it for many years.
Yeah.
I said, it's only a matter of time. It's only a matter of time.
I expect she broke down and wept, didn't she?
No, she's not a bitch.
What did she say? Just ignore it all.
She said, she said, ignore it, go away. And she's quite right. It's gone away.
You're old now.
No, the cancer.
The cancer's gone, is it?
Yeah. I'm not the cancer anymore.
No, that's a story you made up for your mum. You had waiting. You didn't say you had your answer.
Oh, I don't have cancer then.
No, that's just a story you made up for your mum. You found out you were waiting.
Oh, I forgot.
Yeah, well, I've got an even worse memory than you.
Yeah?
Yeah. In fact, I've got the worst memory, and I've got the worst diseases, and I've suffered more than anybody else in the whole fucking world.
Yeah?
Last night, for example.
Last night? When was that? I can't remember.
Or tomorrow morning, I'm not planning on anything at all. But I didn't get to sleep at all. And I had this terrible dream, and it crippled me, and I was weeping and shouting and crying. And I had the worst night that anybody's ever had, I think.
But last night?
When?
Is it this morning?
Who are you talking about?
Well, you just said you had a rotten night last night. Don't you remember saying that?
Nah, terrible night.
Nah.
Yeah,
I was going to tell you about my night, because I didn't sleep at all last week. I'm slept for days now. I was in such pain, Dolly had to shut me up in the room. You know, we've got this soundproof room, we normally keep the boy in. Because we don't like to hear him screaming. And so I was in there, and I was, you know, I've got this cancer.
Yeah, well, I've got cancer of every part of my body, and I haven't slept ever in my life. I've never slept at all.
Funny you should say that.
I've suffered more than anyone.
Well, I suppose, yeah, I've never.
saying the same. It's funny you should have said that. It's exactly. Well, I've got.
No, I'm not supposed to.
I've got cancer and everything, and I've got cancer of my wife as well.
I've got cancer of the mortgage and the house. I've got cancer of the garden. I've got cancer of the season ticket.
I've got cancer of the universe, mate.
I've got cancer of the cosmos. And what's more, I had cancer before you were born.
I've never been born. I'm not. I've never been here.
Me neither.
And I've got cancer of that too.
I've got cancer of not ever being born.
I've got
cancer of never having existed.
I've got cancer of never being in the scheme of things.
I've never even been planned by anyone.
The word is meaningless.
I've got cancer so enormous that people can't even see it. I've got cancer and I've never been in existence ever.
I've got cancer and I've never been in existence ever, and I don't know who I'm talking about because
I have no idea who I'm talking about.
I've got cancer of
I've never been heard to speak in my life. I've got cancer and never been had.
What you've just heard.
I've never been heard in my life.
What you've just heard, you haven't heard, because I've never said it, because I don't exist to say it. I've got cancer of that.
Nobody heard what I said, because I haven't ever said anything, because I've never been born.
Yeah, but everything you've said, I've got cancer of.
No, I haven't.
No, I have.
Oh, I forget these things.
What things?
You know.
Oh.
I've got cancer of. I don't know.
Oh.
And it's very, very painful. And I've never heard anything, or ever been born, or seen anyone, or done anything.
I saw this bloke the other day.
No.
Did I tell you?
No.
Yeah.
No, you didn't. I don't fucking... Come that way.
Really.
You saw this bloke the other day. You don't expect me to believe that, do you?
I don't. No.
Oh, it's outrageous. That's outrageous.
Yeah,
you saw this bloke the other day.
It's true.
Oh, come off it, you cunt. Saw this bloke the other day, you cunt.
Oh, I saw
him. Of course you didn't. You never saw a bloke the other day.
I saw him.
How could you have done?
I don't know.
That's what defied description. All right.
I saw him, but I saw him. I was going on the street and I saw this bloke.
Yeah, no, come on. What proof have you fucking got?
I saw this bloke.
What proof have you got?
I've got no proof,
what
mate.
What proof? Oh, without proof, there's no fucking point in talking, is there?
Well,
I can prove that I'm here because I've got a witness.
Who?
You.
Where are you?
I'm here. Can't you see me? Talk about some bloke you saw the other day.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. You seen a bloke, have you? So what's so good about that?
Nothing.
What's so interesting about this particular story?
It's not. I just saw a bloke.
You saw a bloke. So what? So you saw him. So what happened?
Nothing happened.
Any happier? You any happier? You feeling better for seeing this bloke? Of course you are.
I didn't say I'd feel
better.
Why
raise it in the first fucking place then?
I thought you might be interested.
I wasn't in the least interested. I was sitting here quietly wagging. How would you know? By fucking intuition, mate. Can't you have something intuitive?
All right, I saw this woman.
That's better.
All right.
Now you're talking. Without that, we wouldn't have a way to die, would we? Not as fucking good if it not as torment as it being eternally young. You know, you'd say, fuck it, we won't. Now we go, this is a great gift of cancer. I wouldn't have thought that. I'll tell you one thing I can't stand.
Tell me.
About Russia is the dead bodies in your hotel room.
Oh, blimey, yeah.
Because I booked into a second-class hotel, you know, a second-class hotel, two stars, and I asked room service, you know, for a light meal because I was going sightseeing the next morning,
And I said I'd like some chips and, you know, a steak, medium rare, and a banana fritter, you know.
Mm.
And this bloke come up to the room, and frankly, it wasn't what I ordered. He brought up 3,000 dissidents with their testicles attached to electrodes. And I said, call this fucking room service, not room service. I said, I asked for chips, steak.
Yeah.
And banana fritters. I'll get 3,000 fucking dissidents on a tray.
Cunt. What are they trying to pull? Eh? Well, they think we're cunts. I said,
if you're expecting a tip, mate, if you're expecting a tip,
fucking,
you can get the fuck out of my hotel room.
Yeah.
Anyway, they just dumped them down on the floor.
Yeah.
All these dissidents. I got talking to them. Some nice blokes, actually.
Yeah.
Sergei Wolankov. He wrote some poetry. He wrote a poem saying, the Soviet Union is a Kazi, Mr. Brezhnev is a cunt, and I want my freedom, you see. And he published that in a dissident newspaper.
I'd rather be room service than in prison.
But I'll say one thing for Russia, the health service is tremendous.
Oh, yeah.
As soon as you're ill, they kill you.
Yeah?
Yeah. Oh, there's no fucking about with cures.
Well, I got the right idea, haven't I?
Yeah, I'll tell you something that's really annoys me. Tell the fucking truth about television and French people. I mean, kids, people all work all the time. They watch television and they get very influenced by it. And I speak from personal knowledge.
Right, you do.
I was watching that Holocaust thing, you know, that story about Hitler.
What can he was, eh?
Yeah, he formed this dislike for some reason, the psychological for the Jews.
Yeah.
And the story was on the source tape, you know. They all got wiped out and put in gas up and stuff like that. And I was very influenced by that because Michael Moriarty was very good as that Nazi.
Yeah.
And as soon as I switched off the third episode, I got on at number 18. And got up to Golders Green. And I must have slaughtered about 18,000 before I realised, you know, what I was doing. The fucking television was doing me to that.
Yeah.
Same thing happened with, you remember Andy Pandy?
Yeah.
He used to come on. As soon as that was on, I used to get in a glove. So jump in a glove and rush down the road. And, you know, the power it has over people.
Excuse me, I wonder if you'd be interested in a sex crime.
Could you speak up a bit? I can't really hear you.
Yeah.
I thought I heard the word sex crime, but I didn't hear anything else.
Well, you got the gist of what I said. I wonder if you'd be interested in playing with my thing.
Oh, I see. Sort of playing with your doodads.
Yes, with my Winnie Winky.
This depends rather on the terms. And indeed the lengths.
Well,
what are the lengths of the doodah?
My doodah is about 4'9" by 3.5".
When you say 4'9" by 3.5",
we
take the 3.5 as being accurate, or could that be possibly 3.75"?
Probably more in the region of 5.5.
5.5? Well, that's rather more interesting. You see, the problem with me is that my...
Winky, tends, when aroused,
which is very seldom, about once every century, to be about 1,000 miles long.
Oh, fucking awesome. Well, I wonder if we could come to some arrangement.
Well, I don't see any reason why not. I mean, you're a fine man.
Well, that's very kind of you, you fat.
Well, I'm a very kind person. And I'd just like to say that mine being about 1,000 miles long, which is quite a length in this day and age.
Oh, God, oh, God, oh, God.
Yeah. Given the inflation which surrounds us, I'd like to get to grips with something, you know, on a sort of par with mine.
Yeah, well, I think you'd be quite pleased with the, this particular winky winky woo.
When it says a winky winky woo, it's a winky, yes?
Well, mainly it's on the wanky side.
And where does the woo come in?
Wherever you like, dear.
Well, I'd prefer you to do the wooing before you do the winky and the wanky.
Well,
I may be a bit old-fashioned, but I like to see a bit of wooing before the winky and the wanky, you know.
All right, you smooth-talking fucker.
Where do you live? Earl's Court? Nowhere?
No. Pardon?
Do you live nowhere at all?
Well, you're getting near the truth.
Why don't you come back to my place and perhaps we could sort things out?
That would be wonderful.
Did I ever tell you before that I love a man who has no convictions?
Oh.
How many convictions have you got?
Well, it depends what you mean by conviction.
How many times have you been in prison for offences against Anna Neagle?
44 times, Your Honour.
Well, come back and see me and we'll see if we can sort things out.
You're too kind.
I am what?
You're getting fainter.
I'm getting Fanta? Yes, I shall go off and get some Fanta.
Oh, you're getting fainter.
I'm getting fainter, yes. That's because, do you know, in 45 years in the British Army, I've never met anyone who really cared.
How very sad.
It is, isn't it? When one has fought two wars, beaten the Bosch twice, one ceases to care. One only hungers for where it's at.
Well, get your winny wanky woo over here, darling.
I wish I could. It was shot off in the First War.
Well, fuck off, you silly old puff.
No, the Ministry of Environment comes right. And they said, excuse me, before you take these boyfriends down to the laundromat, we like this. And he thought it was something to do with the prison line desert, but it wasn't. And they looked at these boyfriends and endangered species. I found the other two examples of the barking toad.
The barking toad?
Yeah, everybody thought the barking toad was extinct, but no, it was two of them.
Was it the barking Romford toad?
No, it's not called the barking toad, because it is a barking toad. It's a barking toad that goes woof. And they said, this is dangerous species, and they'd be flourishing there. Because it's actually the right environment, you know. Because they like humidity, you know. Plenty of humidity. sort of body temperature which Damien has.
If it's an endangered species, I'm always fucking that. I'd like to see every endangered species wiped off the fucking face of the earth. People go, they're all moaning on, they say whales, they're more intelligent than human beings.
Yeah.
Are they? Do you think whales and dolphins are more intelligent than human beings?
Oh, yeah.
Why?
It says so.
Yeah, but they're not. Whales are fucking stupid. Can you mention one whale in the history of mankind that has had a record in the top 10? Can you? Can you mention one whale who's written the equivalent of Othello, Shakespeare, Health and Efficiency? They've produced nothing in the way of literature. All they fucking produced is a load of other whales, and all they eat is fucking plankton. And they call them intelligent. Can you imagine drifting along in the sea with your mouth open with a lot of fucking plankton going in?
Yeah, I can imagine that.
You'd like it, would you? Just drifting around in the sea. And you can't... They're such cunts, they can't even breathe underwater. They have to keep coming up the whole fucking time and spouting. Then some cunt comes on telly and he says, oh, the whale has been wiped out by... mankind, save the fucking whales. Well, during the war, did we notice a lot of whales rallying round and saying, save England? I didn't notice many down my part of the world. I didn't see whales coming up with the Union Jack saying, we'll fight the Boche. No, they're doing fucking all swimming around the fucking sea, sucking fucking plankton down.
The whales were all Nazis. Fucking... They were at the Nuremberg rallies, mate. They were all whales.
What, they were tried in the Nuremberg trial?
No, they were whales at the rallies. Hitler was talking to whales.
Well, that doesn't make them more intelligent because Hitler lost, didn't he?
I don't care because it's not fair. Belsen was a nasty place and nearly got the human race destroyed. But I don't care because I'm bad and I sing worse than any other record you've ever had. So there... So there, I don't care.
All right, can you mix that together, put some echo on, and send it to Jonathan King? Thanks, love. Great, see you tomorrow. Right?
Good. I heard that George Stitt had moved away from the Willesden area and gone up around Chadwell Heath.
Cancer?
Yeah.
Oh, my. It's funny you should say that because you remember Enid, who used to live across the road at number 104.
Yeah, just next to 105. Yeah.
Right. she's now working at the United Dairies down Green Lane.
What, cancer?
Yeah.
Christ. Remember the Nolan twins?
Oh, yeah.
Fifi. Fifi Nolan.
And Ronnie.
And Ronnie Nolan, yeah. They've taken up darts.
Cancer?
Yeah.
bought a ball bearing business down Dulwich Way, and it's doing quite well.
Yeah, it's better that.
Our turnover is up to 3,000 a week, yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
And the good thing about ball bearings is that...
everybody needs ball bearings.
Well, that's what I say. The wife says, well, why don't you become a television star? And I say, what do I need it when I've got my ball bearings to keep me rolling?
Yeah.
And she still liked me to be on the telly.
Yeah.
So I volunteered for this new game they got on, Celebrity Suicide.
Oh, yeah.
In which well-known celebrities put themselves in a noose and hang themselves. And the last person to die gets £1,000.
That's good.
But I wasn't selected.
No, well, you wouldn't be.
I said, is it because I'm... only 1 inch high and 4 foot wide. And I said, no, it's nothing to do with that. Because, you know, I'm very wide on the ground and short in the air. And they said, no, it's nothing to do with that. They said, the basic fact is we think you're a cunt.
That's unusual.
And we don't like cunts on the show because it puts off the audience. And so I went away with the flea in my ear.
Best place to have it.
Really, yeah. And the wife is still on about me being a celebrity, you know. And she was on, Blow Your Tits Up. she was on this new game called Blow Your Tits Up.
Yeah.
In which celebrities such as Anthony Newley and Bruce Forsyth attach explosives to women's tits, and the tits that go highest in the air win the biggest prizes. But Dolly said she couldn't stand that, and I respected her views.
Well, you do, don't you?
You remember Vera? I nearly married the one I fucked and nailed to the wall in Chiswick. She was invited to do Celebrity Saviours,
yeah,
in which well-known people are nailed up to the wall, and the one who screams loudest gets the prize. But she said that was beneath her dignity.
Yeah, well,
I respect that view, but I still think she's a cunt not to take the money. I'll tell you something. A religious singing reminded me of something. Did you see that TV coverage of the Pope when he was lying in state? The last Pope, you know, John Paul.
Yeah.
Lying in state on that catafalque.
Yeah.
In those robes.
All right.
Didn't half give me the horn that. Him lying there. He looked so fucking vulnerable, didn't he? I mean, like, I couldn't prevent myself, you know, having a wank immediately because he looked vulnerable. He looked at rest, and somebody had gone to the trouble of plucking all that hair out of his nostrils. I didn't fancy him when he was alive because he had all this fucking hair up his nostrils. But when when the cosmetician had had a go at his body and that.
Well, I get a.
I got the fucking horn just seeing him lying there.
The makeup was fantastic on that.
I imagine.
Who done the wardrobe?
What, for the Pope's funeral?
Yeah.
Was it Verity Lambert, was it?
Was it Mr. Fish?
Mr. Fish, or?
Yeah, I don't know.
Or could be Mrs. Fish done it, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
She does a lot of things.
Bloody beautiful. But it's interesting, gave you the horn.
Well, I find I'm, you know, I'm attracted by dead popes.
By dead popes, yeah.
And, you know.
I can understand that. It's enough to give you the horn. Anything gives me the horn, I find. I can look at anything. I look at a picture of a piece of toilet paper, I get the horn. Yeah. I get a very hard horn. I mean, not just the
any
horn.
Any particular, just Bronco or just Hendrix?
Well, no, I don't distinguish anything.
Anything gives you the horn.
Anything gives me the horn. I'm very lucky that way. Except my wife, Valerie. She doesn't give me the horn at all.
No, she's an ugly.
I've explained to her time after time. I said, Val, I said, fuck knows what it is, love, but you do not give me the horn. I said, you fucking don't give me the horn.
I'll tell you what.
But everything else gives me the horn. I went down, I opened the gate, that gave me the horn. I, you know, put my foot on the pavement, that gave me the horn.
Yeah.
You know, everything gives me the horn.
Yeah.
You like that?
Lord Longford gives me the fucking horn.
Oh, yeah.
That's the way he does it,
yeah.
No, it really gets me going. Yeah, I see him wandering about.
Yeah.
He's so fucking fanciful, that Longford.
Fucking hell, mate.
I mean, I wish I was in prison for life.
Me round a bit.
I wish I'd killed a few people. I wish I was in prison.
So
I wish I was a mass murderer and I was in prison so Lord Longford could come round with me all he gives other people a winner. Because I only see him in photos on telly and that.
Yeah.
In the flesh, I imagine he must be fair. Fucking tasty.
I mean,
think of that lucky girl, Marion. It's sitting there. He's coming round on daily visits to see her.
I bet you get it.
Tell you another thing that gives me the horn.
What's that?
The word and.
Oh, and.
Whenever I see the word and.
You've picked a favourite of mine, man.
I get so fucking.
Oh, weird. Fucking and, mate. Oh, Jesus. Don't I? Such a lot of it about.
Yeah. This and
fucking
that,
and no. This and that. And
this
that.
Gives me the horn. That this gives me the horn.
And that gives. Oh, fucking.
If
shit.
I see a sentence which reads this and that, I'll get such a fucking hard one.
Fucking and,
the fucking
mate. I run to the editor.
The is another one gives me the horn.
Oh, the. Oh,
I keep using that one, don't I?
Have you been reading my diary?
Yeah, I was looking through it, you know.
Oh, fuck me, I think it's very nice.
I don't know what I read.
You saw my secrets.
Yeah, it's
you knew that I liked the and then.
Yeah, I knew that. That's why I mentioned the and then. See if it gives you the horn. Of course it does. But you wrote to about this?
Well, I sent a peasant round Robin thing.
Yeah, that's not a fucking good one. You sent a letter.
Well, I sent the letter later.
Well, with the Robin?
No, I sent Robin and that's, you know, it didn't do fuck all, so I sent the letter.
Robin Peters and PayPal, that is. Fucking stupid. Why didn't you write a letter?
I did write a letter.
Sending round fucking Robin.
I sent Robin round because I thought that would be the way to do it.
What, Robin had the letter?
No, I just sent Robin round.
What, did I Robin's going round? Where the fuck did Robin go round to?
He didn't go round nowhere. I just sent him round.
Round
he
where?
He came back, he said, where the fuck am I supposed to go? I said, I don't fucking know. I sent you round. Why don't you fucking go round?
Why didn't you send a letter?
Well, I did
letter.
Send a letter, yeah.
Who
to? I don't know. I sent the fucking letter. I wrote the letter and put it in the pillbox. I don't know who I sent it to.
Well, you didn't put a stamp on or address or anything like that.
Fuck that.
Well, why don't you follow what John Cleese says on television?
I do.
He says in order for a post to get there, he comes out with all these handy fucking ins. He says put a stamp on a letter and address it. That's what I've been doing since I've seen those ads.
Write the letter and bung it in a fucking postbox.
Well, no address.
No address.
Well, did you get a reply?
No! I was fucking furious, I wrote another letter.
What, same method?
Yeah, got no fucking reply again. Cunts! They're all cunts out there!
I wrote to Mrs. Thatcher.
Yeah.
I said, dear Mrs. Thatcher, you know, respectful. Pardon the language, but I've got a fucking horn. And, you know, I thought I'd put it bluntly, dear Mrs. I didn't call her Maggie, I wasn't familiar. So, dear Mrs. Thatcher, I have got the fucking horn, and I want to know what you, as leader of the Conservative Party, plan to do about it, you know. I was expecting a reasoned reply of some kind.
Yeah.
Well, I get a fucking letter come back. Say,
the whole not known as address.
No. It said that Mrs. Thatcher has read your inquiry with interest, but it will not be part of official Conservative Party policy, though we are sympathetic to your cause. Well, in my view, she hasn't even read the fucking thing.
Right.
Oh, it's a fucking sex thing.
Yeah, right.
Right, to Jim Callan.
Tossed it on one side if you pass it.
Right to Callan. That oily shit. I didn't call it. I said, dear sir.
You didn't say dear sir.
No, because that would offend him. He speaks a woman Welsh. No, he's not Welsh, is he? He's just kind of some guy, I forget.
Yeah, well, we all do.
Alright,
we come from home, mate.
Alright, Jim Callan. I said, dear Mr. Callan, I have got the fucking horn. And I want to know what the fucking hell the fucking Labour Party are going to do about the fucking horn. I've got absolutely no fucking reply. He's probably huddling for the TUC.
What's that?
I did an experiment for BBC Two. They're doing a documentary.
What, on the horn?
Yeah, on the horn. And the documentary people came around now with a camera.
first I was a bit self-conscious, you know, not having some cameras on yourself.
And I forget who was the producer, Xavier.
Radio 3, BBC
2. Yeah, all that stuff. I said, lie on a bed and masturbate. And I said, what is my motivation? And he said, the. And as soon as he said the, I started to get pumping away, you know. And it all come out, you know, great mess of it.
I wish
shouting again. One day,
you know, when you're very old, you won't get the horn anymore. Now, when you don't get the horn, you'll start to shout the horn. That's what you'll say.
I have to say that now, really. I can't get it out of my bacon. Jesus, love. Fuck you. Can't have it. No, I've got no bacon.
Oh, she knows that.
She got a knob? Oh, she just fucking talked. She got a knob? Put that question to her.
Did Valerie ever say
that? Hey, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fucking hell, she is.
Is that you?
Yeah. Oh, for God, she has a knob. Valerie has a knob.
She had it as long as you've known her. Is she just a substance?
I come to think of it, which I do. She's had it. She's had it ever since we got married. I have to go and see Valerie.
You could probably, on the health these days, you'd probably have a number increased.
I don't want it increased.
You get a supplementary benefit.
No, I don't want it increased.
You want it reduced? Well, then you have to fill in another form to get it reduced.
No, I just have to get used to it, really.
But couldn't you get tax relief on an unemployed home?
Probably.
Well, I should go into this with your accountant down the cycle shop.
Yeah. Well, that gives me the
one. The cycle shop, yeah. I'll tell you, when they set those wheels spinning.
Oh, you see, I'm looking at that. I think it's beautiful. The way those spokes move around. And I'll get a horn. Looking at that. I think I'm going to wake myself to death.
What I was saying earlier. Interesting you mentioned this. When you get very old, you won't get the horn.
Oh, damn. No.
And you'll be sitting in this room.
Oh, frankly,
you'll be looking at books and trying to look at the word and the, and you won't get the horn at all.
Frankly, when I don't get the horn, that's when I take the pills.
What you'll learn.
Because that gives me the horn.
What, taking pills?
Yeah.
Suicide gives you the horn, does it? Yeah, I'll get a bit excited by the idea of suicide. Give me the fucking horn, the thought of lying there dying, you know, with all these pills and knowing you're not quite strong enough to get to the phone and ring a doctor.
Oh, my knob that I take.
Yeah, I think that it gives me the fucking horn. I imagine Keith Moon had the horn when he was dying. That's probably why he took all those pills, right, wasn't it? So he's getting the horn through thinking of dying. Of course, he overdid it in my desire. But being dead probably gives you the horn as well. I imagine when you're dead, you have the horn solidly, forever and ever and eternity.
Well,
I imagine God's got the horn, don't you? He's probably got a huge drink on it, hasn't he?
He's fucking wanked all over the world for a good 2,000 fucking years, mate.
Yeah, he's probably got the horn continuously.
He's probably a terrible wanker.
Seraphim and cherubim continually to cry. Why do they continually cry? Because they all got the fucking horn up there.
Yeah, fucking knobs aching up there, mate. Continually crying with knob ache.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd like to meet Ezekiel and have a few words with him.
Yeah, he's
a fucking load of crap he wrote.
He's got a lot to answer for.
Leviticus, what a cunt.
Herodotus, get fucked.
Herodotus.
Leviathan, shove it.
Leviathan, was he a gospeler?
I don't know.
No, he's just some cunt.
Just give me the horn. What I fucking care about is the horn, mate. Oh. I live by the horn.
The
I shall live. And die for the horn. That's all I'm interested in. Is the horn.
I wrote to the Council of Churches, and I said this fucking Bible, especially Paul.
Yeah.
I said this fucking Bible really gives me the horn. And I wrote, you know, civilly to them at the World Council of Churches. I wrote, dear cunts in charge of religion, you know, familiar, friendly. Dear cunts in charge of religion. Your fucking guidebook or whatever the fucking thing is. Don't half give me the horn. It's fucking horny, especially on St. Paul. And I've got no reply whatsoever from that cunt. No wonder the church attendance is dropping off.
No wonder everything's dropping off.
You know, like it says in the Bible, that Jesus, I mean, was, you know, fairly nice.
Yeah.
Do you think that's true?
No, I think it's probably a cunt.
Yeah, I thought that, because, you know, I've read the Bible, and he comes across that way.
Yeah, well, he comes over a bit too good, doesn't he? I mean, he must have had his
thing. I reckon
he probably got the horn.
Well, what if he didn't get the horn? then he wasn't human, was he?
No. Right.
And they say he's half human and half god. Which half was human? Not bit was the bottom half. The god bit was on the top and the human bit at the all.
Right.
I bet the god bit stops at his navel. He had the human form of it underneath.
Yeah.
So he'd be wandering around feeling all nice and saying, I'm God up here, you see. But down below, I suppose his hand would be below, wouldn't it?
Depends.
His arm would start off as God and he'd become man as it reached about the wrist.
Oh, yeah, the wrist.
So he could be wanking himself stiff all the time. His brain was saying he's been good and holy, you know. I don't know the fucking problem that is, isn't it? But there was one bit of the Bible, or it, I think it was cut out.
Yeah.
It was just after the devil had been tempting him. And the bit that was cut out said, and Jesus suddenly, no, it said, and lo, they said, and lo, Jesus suddenly got up and wandered out of the Garden of Gethsemane, fucked himself stupid for 28 years, and that bit got left out. Because I think it was Matthew thought it was a bad idea, bad for the image.
Yeah.
But of course, it's in my book, it makes him more understandable.
Oh, yeah, it makes him more human. Oh, well, that's wrong, isn't it?
Yeah. No, it makes the bottom half human as normal.
Yeah.
And the top half God.
Yeah.
They say his right hand doesn't know what his left hand is doing.
Yeah.
I know what his left hand is doing, the same as his right hand. But they cut bits out of the Bible. It never says Jesus got left his foot. Does it mention it? Does it say, and lo, Jesus was stricken with athlete's foot? Is that in? No, it's fucking out. It doesn't fit in, does it?
Did it ever say
a picture of this holy cunt wandering around telling us good?
Did it ever say, and lo, Jesus had a wee wee?
No. Are we to assume that Jesus, throughout his brief life, never had a piss? And if he did have a piss, why wasn't it fucking reported? Did he have a crap? Why wasn't it down? Why didn't Paul say in Jesus went to the temple, had a piss, had a crap, wiped his ass with the money changes, and put all the stuff in which would make it human instead of all this shit about saying take up thy bed and listen to some kind of from it, firstly, and he's begging.
Well, it's probably been misreported. He said take up thy bed and walk. He said there's a fucking bomb.
Yeah.
Not in first slash. That's probably what he said. Take up thy bed and fucking walk.
He'd have said it in Hebrew.
Who would have said that? Take out my bed and walk. It's a giveaway. Where's the fucking bog? I'm dying, mate. That's what it was.
Love thy neighbour as thyself.
I think.
Love thy neighbour. I don't know. Fancy her too. She ran for a quick one. You're a pig.
What? You're a pig, can't you?
No, of course you can't, mate.
You must have had an image, mate. Yeah, dear. He's a very distinct thing.
But he's really awful.
Yeah?
Jesus. Those pictures of him.
Oh, he doesn't. No, he doesn't give me the whole thing. I've forgotten about him. Actually, Valerie and Jesus both. Maybe it's actually it she's got.
Has it ever struck you that Valerie might be Jesus?
Fucking hell.
The sudden
hey,
connection.
Wait a minute.
This connection. Jesus doesn't give her the all. Valerie doesn't give her the all. They both have beards.
And Valerie's got a knob. Valerie's got.
Jesus had a knob.
Fucking hell.
Does she pin herself back on a cross every now and then? Of course she does. That's what I've got.
Things she had.
No, she's not. You've got to see Mary Jesus. It was come back in the form of that.
Well, you prefer like the high horn. Let's give me the horn.
But
I've
Jesus,
got a horn! You realise I've got the horn!
But you don't get the horn. It's the thought of Jesus being Valerie. Gives you the horn. It's proof.
Fucking
hell. One in two. That's a bad chance. I think Valerie is Jesus. If so, you're a stupid man.
Oh, I've got the horn. Oh, God. Oh.
Everybody.
He's got the horn.
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 Yes, he's got
different. I think that was one of the best we've ever had, don't you, Nicholas?
You know, Steve, I'm not really the type to assign the kind of metric that says one thing is better than another thing, but, well, it was pretty enjoyable, I should say.
Were you familiar with their work before?
No, I'd never met them before they came into the K-Chung Studios. And it was odd. They were really casual. And even though they were using all those swear words, the kind of words that people don't say very much on television or in politics, but I guess do use in casual settings, you know, it's still really confusing to me how all that stuff works.
I think one thing that this episode highlighted is that in order to do comedy, even if it is a very deadpan and vicious kind of comedy, there's always this uncanny structural rhythm to the production of the material that will, because it has that shape, appear funny. I think that that has something to do with why, despite our efforts perhaps, Nicholas, you and I, when you and I do this banter, we're not actually funny. I mean, for all intents and purposes, we're basically doing the exact same thing as Derek and Clive, two guys with microphones in front of us, just, you know, doing some talking, making it up as we go. I mean, we're both totally just making this up spontaneously, Nicholas and I.
Yeah, I agree, Steve, that we are not very funny. But sometimes, you know, we're trying to communicate something to our listeners, you know, get a point across. And sometimes using humor creates a sort of distance between you and what you're trying to say. It's a complex mechanism that I don't fully understand.
That's right. And sometimes we're not comedians. Still.
Yeah, but even though we're sometimes not trying to be, we are really funny.
I have to say, though, it was, despite being comedy, also pretty good music. Don't you think so, Nick?
Yeah, really good music. I mean, you had plenty of vocals. They were entertaining. I think that our musically inclined listeners out there will get a big kick out of that one.
Anyway, I think that does it for us this week. Sorry we took so long with this episode. We've experienced a few personal reversals this week, so we'll be back on track for next week for sure.
Yeah, we'll be back with something altogether more edifying next week. Goodbye for now.
Bye.